Hello and welcome to episode number 64 of the podcast More Than Tones, Music Education and Society. And thanks for being here. This episode is part of the series Teacher Heroes, which is produced by Bachelor of Arts students at the University of Music Lübeck. It is the only English episode of the series because Franziska Gottwald and Finja Laurisch decided to interview Finja's teacher, Dr. Julie Silvera, a jazz singer, voice teacher, and choir director born in Jamaica. I hope you enjoy listening to their conversation as much as I did.
About the best way to introduce you. I came across the quote and thought this describes you the best. Listen to the honey, the molasses of her tone. Just when you cozy into her velvet sound, she grows out a line that is motivated purely by swing, phrasing around the rhythm and landing in the pocket. She swings and she swings hard.
Finja, why was Julie the first person that came to your mind when we were talking about our personal teacher heroes?
Julie is my vocal coach here at the Musikhochschule Lübeck for almost 2 years now. She's been teaching me in my main subject, pop singing. In the first lesson, she asked me why I always say and I just answer, I just want to deeply soak up everything you say. And after 2 years now, it's just the same. And the voice is a very sensitive instrument, and I think Julie knows exactly how to put this instrument in sound. So, now, welcome Julie.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we just want to know how you're coming to music. So the first question we have is, how did you find your way to music, and how old?
Oh my goodness. I actually was born in Jamaica, and in many traditions we go to church, and in church we sing. And it was a big thing to sing and to sing in harmony with your friends. We used to make it a game. But my family, when we moved to the United States, I stopped singing actually, and I started playing the piano, and I found a great joy in playing the piano. And it wasn't until I went to university and I had to join a large ensemble and I thought, well, let me try choir. And I didn't even know I had a voice until I auditioned and got into the big concert choir. And so that's how I came to singing. I had no clue. I was always a pianist. I love to play piano still, but singing became my center and my joy.
So you were a child when you're moving from Jamaica to the US?
Yes, I was 9 or 10.
So with 9 you started to sing in the choir?
No.
Later?
26?
Okay.
Yeah.
But you already played the piano.
But I was playing the piano from the time I was very young, 13 maybe? 12, which is still too late in classical piano. You should start at 5. But I still was very, very good at it. And I started everything late, but still it works. Yes.
It does. Did you have singing lessons or something like that, or a teacher?
When I started, when I joined the choir at university, the teacher that was the dirigent of the corps, she was also the head of voice, the head docentin, and she said, you need to take voice lessons. And so immediately she put me in voice lessons, and immediately I started, for the first time in my life, it felt like my voice was a wild thing that needed somehow to be tamed and to be made into something beautiful, but it was a joy. But I was studying classical voice at the time, but I loved it. I really did. And I got to sing in the chorus, in a few operas and musical theater things.
So when you started with classical singing, where was the switch to you're now singing most of all jazz?
Yes. Oh, this is going to be funny. So it was actually a gentleman on the phone, and I answered the phone, and he said, we were talking for a while. I was working, and he said, have you ever thought about singing jazz? Your speaking voice really sounds like you should be singing jazz. And I said, no. You know, I knew of jazz. I knew of Ella Fitzgerald, but that was it. And he said, you should do it. And I said, no. And he said, yes. And he said, who is the jazz person at the school? And I said, Dr. Charles Argersinger. And he said, well, you should go and talk to him. And I said, no, we're all very afraid of him. And he said, well, if you don't, I'm going to call back tomorrow and make sure that you do. And I didn't. And he called the next day and he goes, did you talk to him yet? And I said, no. He goes, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And he hung up. And I finally got the courage and I went and spoke with Dr. Argersinger. And he looked up at me over his glasses, you know, and he said, well, he handed me an Ella Fitzgerald record. You children don't know that. Vinyl. And he said, learn some songs and come back. And I learned some songs and I came back. And that was it. That was when the switch happened. It was very upsetting for my classical teachers because, you know, they thought that I could make a career in opera. But I loved opera and I would have loved it. But jazz called to me immediately. I loved the spontaneous nature of this music that you can create in the moment. It's very, very overwhelmingly satisfying for me.
Yeah. How did those lessons you got look like?
Oh, I have to tell you, I think that they were very typical of classical lessons. You know, when I switched from my Hauptfach being piano, because it was impossible to do both, to being classical voice. And of course, you do the typical things where you have to learn the language, the romantic languages. So a set, 3 songs in French, 3 songs in German, 3 songs in Italian, 3 songs in English, an aria, and then maybe one other piece. So it was a very heavy, and of course, I had to learn this all at once, learning to speak these new languages. I took all of the courses that you learn to speak or to understand how to speak French and German. And actually, German was my favorite language to sing in because I loved all the rules. There were so many rules. And I loved the rules. And but it was just that. And it was very frustrating because I was learning about my voice. I had never thought about these things. I was learning how to breathe, and I felt like I was so late. I was already in my late 20s, and all of the other students were 18 and 19 and 17, and I was like the old lady learning for the first time. But this is how we learn to conquer our fears, is we do the thing that we want to do, but that we are afraid to do. And I hopefully show that with my students in their lessons, that, you know, it's challenge yourself, make this moment yours. Mm-hmm. Don't be conquered by this one thing. If this one thing troubles you or challenges you, then just do that one thing until you feel good with it before you move on, and never let it get here. Mm-hmm. Know that. And I'm pointing to my head, I should say, podcast. But never let it stop you. Nothing can stop you. The limitation is really in your mind. Mm-hmm. It really is.
So, you always said that you wanted to be a classical singer, mm-hmm. and have a classical voice career?
Yes, yes.
But now you're just singing jazz? And how do you imagine your future?
This is very, very interesting. With my little brother, actually, my baby brother, is a great classical singer. And so it stayed in the family. But it wasn't I didn't think of it so consciously. My feeling was, I go where the music is taking me. And so classical and jazz and gospel and whatever, to me, is all music. It's all a part of who I am. So I never felt like I gave up one for the other. I just chose this path. And what was really beautiful about jazz is that it opened so many doors for me because I became so good at it. I started to win competitions. I was given a full scholarship to go to the University of Miami to get my doctorate in jazz studies and performance. I was able to work with the Young Arts Organization and choose the presidential scholarship. All of this, I was able to work with Quincy Jones and Gloria Estefan and Michael Bublé. All of this is because of jazz. I performed in 6 countries. I'm teaching here at the Musikhochschule, working with fantastic students. I do concerts. I make CDs. I work with Max Mutzke. All of this is because of jazz. Because of jazz. Jazz has brought me to a different continent. It has taken me to different countries. I've sung for CEOs and powerful people and all doing jazz. So everything that I do really musically at this point, I owe to jazz. And what's really great is to know that when I consider myself a musician, I never consider myself a jazz musician at times. I consider myself a musician. I write and I think in all styles. And because I have such a deep-rooted history in classical music, in gospel, I can borrow from all of these things when I create. You know, now I work with students and I teach them everything. What I learned as a classical person, what I learned is musical theater, what I learned in gospel, what I learned in jazz. And I can give that as a gift to my students.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no limits. There's no limits. It's just great.
You already talked about your CD. We want to talk about it too.
Okay, sure.
Have you always dreamed of releasing a CD?
Yes. You know, this is my 4th CD. But it's the 3rd one that I've released. So when I was getting ready to leave Washington State University, where I started, I made a CD there called Sojourner. And Sojourner is a word that means traveler. But Sojourner is also a powerful name because it was the name of the woman that led the Underground Railroad that helped free the slaves. And it was also the name of one of my dearest friends who died while I was at school. So she was named for Sojourner Truth, which is the woman that helped free the slaves or helped them escape north. And we used to call her Soji. And so she died 2 years before I graduated. She was a great clarinet player. And so I named the record after her. And then the second one I made right before I came to Germany. And I really wanted it because I wanted to show who I was at that time. And I studied with a great jazz singer, Dr. Kevin Mahogany, who himself has now passed away. And he said, you need to make these because you need to see how you've grown and how you've changed. And so when I came to Germany, I knew I wanted to make one here. When I moved here in 2017, it's been my dream ever since. And I worked with many great jazz musicians in Hamburg, and I found this band and built this group, and we did a lot of concerts together, and we got really tight. And it's so great because I've always had the privilege of working with great instrumentalists, but with Misha Schumann on piano, Oliver Carstens on bass, Moritz Hamm on drums, and we did a concert, and they know how I think, and I know how they think, and we feel each other. And so by the time we went into the studio and to make the record, it was so easy. We could do anything we wanted. We could explore any way we wanted because we felt so good about the music and about each other. So, yeah. And it's called About Time.
Please listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Oh, thank you.
I was wondering, when did you make your decision to come to Germany?
Oh, that's...
And how?
We were talking about this with my friends, actually, the other day. I think it was 2012. It's crazy to think. I came here, I was invited to do a gospel workshop with the Blankenese Gospel Corps in Hamburg. And that's how I came here. It was October, I think, of 2012. It's crazy to think it was so long ago. And it was so much fun. And they invited me to come back the very next year. So it's back in 2013. So that's how I found Germany, because there, if I were to think of a country in Europe to live in, it would not have been this one. If only for the language. It was just because I'm like, I don't speak any German at all. And I would be terrified. But it, I felt like Germany chose me. And that very first day that I landed, it was gray and ugly and cold. October 22nd, I think. And I was in love. I was smitten immediately. And that feeling has not changed. And even when I remembered when I toured in 2015, I was in Paris and I was in Hungary, in Budapest, and I was in Rome. And when the plane was over Hamburg and we, it was sunny and beautiful, and then you come through the clouds and then it's cold and gray, and I was like, yes, it still feels so good to me. Really. Even when I go to America and I come back, it feels right. It feels really right. Yeah.
I think these are words for the ending.
Yeah.
It sums up everything. Thank you, Julie.
It was my pleasure, really.
Freeze a bird, drunk on some wine, all dressed in red, just feeling fine. Never again be locked away. Freeze a bird, that's how you stay. Nobody said it to me, somebody that's lost to be. Free as a bird, I will be. Stretching my wings, trying to fly, push from the edge, screaming too high. Mama would say, you're just like me, stubborn and strong. That's how you be. Well, mama would pray and would plead, pray that her babies would be deep and as rich as the sea. Well, nobody says that life's fair. I'm sowing what I reap. Well, could just leave a piece of me back for me, back for me. And I never said I didn't care. I'm sowing what I reap. Well, could just leave a piece of me back for me.
This was episode number 64 of the podcast More Than Tones, Music Education and Society. I want to thank Franziska Gottwald, Finja Laurisch and her teacher hero, Julie Silvera, for their warm-hearted conversation. Listening to you feels really good in a gray and wet northern German winter. The next episode of the series Teacher Heroes will be in German again. If you're interested in the other English episodes of the podcast Mehr als Töne, just scroll down in your podcast app. The titles and show notes of the episodes will give away if they are in German or English. So stay tuned, and in the meantime, enjoy making and listening to music and teaching.